It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In chapter 3 of the book of Romans, we see that there are some Jews who are asking questions. They were wanting to know, well, what advantage is there in being a Jew then if we're all the same? In other words, the same as a Gentile. What is the benefit? And I'm speaking of the fleshly Jew and Gentile now as we look in chapter 3 of the book of Romans. The Jew would say, what is the benefit of being a Jew then? What good is it if having the law and being circumcised and being a child of Abraham does me no good, then what advantage is there in being a Jew? Now, we've looked at this before, but I'd like to look at it again and understand that Paul says he's looking in, what advantage is there of being a Jew? Well, Paul answers this question in verse 2 of chapter 3 of Romans when he says, much in every way, chiefly because that unto them, he says, were committed the oracles of God. Unto the Jew, where they were committed, they had the oracles, the scriptures. And are the Jews advantaged? He says, much every way, chiefly they had the oracles, or in other words, the sayings of God. Psalm 147 talks about this in verses 19 and 20, where it says, he showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. You see, the Jews had the Old Testament. They had the writings of God, but they did not do the things of God, the things God wanted them to do. Well, notice the word committed. The oracles of God, the scriptures, were committed or entrusted to the Jew. Remember, we're speaking of the Old Testament scripture. Well, what great advantage and a great responsibility was given to the person who has been given the Bible today? Having a Bible is an awesome responsibility. If we possess the truth, then we are responsible to do something with the truth that we possess. And how many Bibles are there in the homes of America which are never opened and never used? When the Jews were entrusted with God's Word, they were responsible to obey and believe the written revelation which they had. Were they faithful to trust or not? In Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, it answers the question. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Well, these are accusations now from the Jews. Were the Jews accusing God of being unfaithful? Faith of God without effect? And secondly, verse 3 shows who really is unfaithful. Faith here means faithfulness. Well, the question is, shall their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? The answer, of course, is no. Can the faithfulness in man cancel the faithfulness of God? The answer again is no. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. That's speaking of God. But Paul keeps going. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, where it says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written. That thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. The question in verse 3 is answered in verse 4. The answer to verse 3, God forbid. Notice verse 3 says, some did not believe. That means not all. All Jews were not unfaithful. But the majority of the Jews did not believe in Christ as Messiah. And the word justified, realize that God is true, is what Paul is trying to say. Realize he's true, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings. Lord, whatever you say is right. That's what Paul's saying about God. Well, this is the way our attitude and our lives should be governed today. Whatever the Lord you say is right and just. Well, notice the term, and it says, and mightest overcome. Well, the victor is the Lord. The Lord. You are always the overcomer and the victor. You are always right, and you always win every case. Well, I would also like for you to see in verse 4 of Romans chapter 3, in that verse that Paul is quoting Psalm 51 and verse 4. David's great confession after his sin of adultery. He said this, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." You see, David recognized God's authority. He was right. Now, when we think of all these things, and we look in the book of Romans, the Jews accused God of being unfaithful. When we look in chapter 3 of the book of Romans, the first few verses of that, and we see that especially in verse 3 of Romans chapter 3. And in verse 5, the Jews are accusing God of being unrighteous, unjust, and unfair. It says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 5 that, "But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance?" Well, Paul says, "I speak as a man." Well, unrighteousness exalts God. Well, this is what they're asking. Of course, it's not true. Does it exalt God? Does unrighteousness exalt him? The word commend here means to bring to light. It means to magnify. Taking vengeance means to inflict wrath. Paul says, "I speak as a man." Paul was simply stating the arguments of some of the Jews. He was saying, "Is this the way it is?" In Romans chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "God forbid." In other words, is this the way God is? Is he unrighteous? Paul says, "God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world?" he says. In Paul's answer to verses 5 and 6, he says, "God forbid. God does not need to use the unrighteousness of anyone to exalt his righteousness." Well, how shall God judge the world? The world, that means mankind, the unsaved. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, and John 3:18, and the unsaved. How shall he judge the world, the unsaved? Consider what the Jews and some today might say. God, the more simple we are, the more your love is magnified. How then can you judge us? Our wickedness makes your love look so good. When we think of this, how absurd it is to think that the more a person sins, the more God is pleased because it makes him look so good. He doesn't need us to make him look good. In Acts 17 and verse 31, it says, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." Speaking of Jesus Christ, of course. Well, no matter what the people of this world think, God will judge every man, every person for sin. The sins of those who have trusted Christ as Savior have had their sins judged in Christ. Hebrews 9:28 says this, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Well, Romans chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner?" Well, the same kind of argument is used here. If my lie my unfaithfulness magnifies and enhances God's truth and God is glorified by my lie, then why does God judge me? See, these are more accusations. These accusations are used against God to avoid God's judgment. Another admonition of guilt is seen here because God's truth, we see lying, the lying person. Sin does not prove God's truth, but God's truth proves sin. In Psalm 117 and verse 2, it says, "For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Psalm 33 and verse 4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Well, note that how sin is or iniquity can be removed or purged. It's by mercy and truth. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6 says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." And might I say this, that this is a reverential fear, the fear of the Lord. It's speaking a reverential fear, recognizing God for who he really is. Romans chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil and do that good may come, whose damnation is just." Notice here, evil and good. It's slanderously reported, Paul says, saying something false, in the word slander. Some affirm that we say, he said in this verse. He's saying that Paul, they're saying that Paul said to, it's all right to sin, it exalts God. Well, that is affirming something, to declare positively that something is true. And what Paul evidently was accused of was, let us do evil that good may come. Live like the devil. Anything goes, they were saying about Paul, and that Paul was saying it was all right to live like the devil. But Paul's answer to the false accusations, he says this, "Whose damnation or judgment is just and right deserved." Paul completely condemns the philosophy that doing evil produces good. If it feels good, do it. We've heard that for several years, and that seems to be the philosophy of the world today. Paul says those who teach living like the devil have deserved judgment and damnation. Let us do evil that good may come. And Paul was falsely accused of teaching this. Why? Because Paul taught that salvation was by grace apart from any works. See, many people think they're saved by turning over a new leaf, by doing good. In God's sight, that's not good enough. You must be saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do to be saved except to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." The Bible is plain that it's by grace through faith that a person is saved. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible is plain. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says that. It's by grace through faith, not of works. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you need to do that right now. God is waiting for you to trust him, to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Call upon him today. Ask him to save you, forgive you of your sin. Ask him to come in to your heart right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.